The podcast you're about to listen to is part of the Professional Casual Network. To find more podcasts like this, please check out professionalcasual.com. The Professional Casual Network has gear. Check out teespring.com/store/professionalcasual for fresh new swag. A huge shout out to our sponsor, BeardedDragonGames.online. Pick up all your local game store goodness from Magic the Gathering, Dungeons & Dragons, Pathfinder, or WFRP 4th Edition, as well as terrain, paints, board games, comics, and more. Make sure to use code PROFESSIONALCASUAL at checkout for free domestic shipping or PCME10 for 10% off your total order at BeardedDragonGames.online.
So, hey, stop me if you've heard this one. I just found out that my new electric toothbrush is not waterproofed. I was shocked. That was a good one. Mike really liked that one. The Dr. D on the mic, soup stirring up hot takes. This ain't casual anymore. We're live on a rhyme sheet. Let's go. Hello, Arachnids. This is your host, D to the D, Dr. D, reaching out through the supervision free source of Netrunning Arachne. We are joined today by a very special guest, Josh, who is a part of our local New England community and also a very strong pillar of that community. Josh, we've mentioned him on the show here and there very briefly, but he's finally here. Hi, Josh.
I'm here, guys. It's me.
He did it. He went through all the paperwork that he needed to do, did it in triplicate and
signed the NDAs.
I signed a bunch of NDAs. Absolutely. He had a blank check sent to his house. It was an absolutely phenomenal time. That's what we call bureaucracy. Anyway, so today on Arachne, we're going to be talking about Gen Red. But first, we got to talk about our patrons and some business. We have to thank our patrons that signed up with the Digital Nomad tier. Thank you very, very much for signing up with that tier. You help us out directly, and you help pay for all the subscriptions and the pieces of audio equipment that are constantly breaking around me for some reason. And those people are Cyril S., Derek S., Quinn B, Nick B, and Aleph did nothing wrong. Thank you very much for the support. We really, really do appreciate it. And of course, we have to thank Arachne. Well, I guess we don't have to thank Arachne. Thanking ourselves would be kind of stupid.
Hey, thanks.
But Arachne is a part of the Professional Casual Network. Hey, thanks, us. We did it. If you would like to support the network, please sign up at our Patreon or purchase some hot swag at streamlabs.com. Professional Casual Network 1. I am personally sponsored by Monument Hobbies. They got some really amazing paint. The new AMP stuff came out recently, and I'm slowly working my way through it. It's pretty good stuff. If you have not tried Monument Hobbies paint by this point, I don't know what you've been doing. You need to crawl out from under that rock you've been. And you can use the code Professional Casual to get yourself a swanky little discount when you check it out. Baron of Dice makes some of the coolest dice in the biz. Use the code Arachne to get yourself a 5% discount. And supposedly they have some Blood and Plunder dice that are coming out soon. TM, I do not know how soon. But when they do come out, I will be buying at least one or two sets myself. And of course, we can't forget our sponsor, Mr. Laser, at MrLaser.square.site. And we got some events coming up. We got the Mythic America tournaments on May 31st, which is the starter box tournament in Randolph, New Jersey. The Gen Con tournament on August 2nd and the PAX Unplugged tournament on November 22nd. And we have, because I finally remembered to put it on the list, a potential satellite. It's gotten satellite status every single time it's happened. But because we're doing this so early on, I'm just going to refer to it as a potential satellite event, but Everwinter will be happening at the Beantown Beatdown will be happening at Everwinter, which will be taking place in Massachusetts, probably the Boston area. I believe it's already been scheduled there again, and it should be happening December 6th to the 7th, 2025 is what we're referring to this year, of course. With all that out of the way, obviously, the guests that I have here on the show are more experts on Gen Red than I am. I have played against them enough times to definitely know the general kind of ins and outs of them, but I think the majority of this episode will be coming from the perspectives of Josh and Mike, who play them, I don't want to say exclusively, but they definitely play them the most out of everything that they own. And I have to say, how's it been? What's a good overview of playing Gen Red?
So Gen Red, who are they? So in Cyberpunk 2045, one of the factions you can play is Gen Red. So Generation Red is a group of children who are orphans, kids that were left behind type of situation that all kind of rally together under their leader Apex. to make this gang of sorts. Through it, they have been able to compete against the other gangs and corporations to make their own little safe haven for themselves.
That sounds nice.
Yeah.
So what you're telling me is that they're a bunch of Charles Dickinson characters, except they found Uzis.
It's like Lord of the Flies, but in a combat zone. Yeah.
Lord of the Flies.
Oh, see, I like to imagine that all of mine are little rich brats whose Arasaka executive parents don't pay attention to them enough, so they use their funds to go get guns and have fun.
I mean, I have a feeling that that is probably a gang in this setting, but Arasaka is not allowed in.
Yeah,
Night City.
Not allowed.
Yeah, yeah. You're banned.
So, I mean, so Apex did flee from her corporate parents' home after being abused at the hands of the higher-ups and set up a camp inside the old combat zone in Night City. So with that, so there's runaways, there's orphans, there's kids from the local block probably. They're all just kind of grouping together and making their spot.
It kind of reminds me of Little Lamplight from Fallout 3.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where it's just a nasty, nasty, terrible place, and kids had to band together because you can't really trust adults. They got agendas. Kids don't really have agendas. They just like candy and
it's the
watching things.
It's the sci-fi Never Never Land. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And they love doing sick tricks on their skateboards.
Oh, you mean it's not the sci-fi Children of the Corn?
I don't really think that they're necessarily that malevolent.
Yeah, I don't think they're that. They're that.
Not yet. Not yet.
No,
that's fair.
Until they're all teenagers.
They start getting that teenage angst, and now they got Uzis and
I just grabbed Wild Things, and they're about to get access to a bunch of drugs. So
you're giving kids drugs?
I
didn't say that.
Look at those models.
Wild Things are getting the drugs, but you know, kids might steal.
Looking at those models, I think they have access to drugs for a very long time. especially the anabolic kind. Like, come on. All right. But the first question that I have is, if I was interested in Gen Red, I would go find my local, person who likes to play with kids in a live combat situation. In this case, it would be Mike and Josh. Hey, look, Mike and Josh.
Hey.
Here.
How you doing? Hey.
My first question I have for you guys is, how does Gen Red play?
Josh, I'll let you answer first and then I can answer.
Yeah, so I think they're tricksy, you know, like you got the Tiger Claws, a lot of sneaking and melee. Maelstrom's gonna be a lot of melee. The zoners are all about the gonk control. Gen Red are just like they just all have these cool little tricks that really nobody else has, that if you haven't played them, you don't expect. So when the first time they hit you, you're like, wait, what did you just do to me? And then even once you are aware that they're there, like, you have to remember, because, you know, they'll pop you with some real silly stuff. I think that's why I like them. You know, they're a little silly. They're a little quirky, but it makes it really fun and just kind of keeps your opponents on their toes.
And then for me personally, what I've probably felt like I've had the most success is treating each kid as a specialist in a certain direction. So you have certain kids that are good at shooting, certain kids that are great net runners, certain kids that are good objective pieces. So there's a kid for every situation is how I think I've directed the way I played these guys.
Yeah, they definitely strike me as a grouping of characters that are all very good at one thing. Like Izzy's very, very good at shooting, yep, but not like a whole lot else. Apex is good at punching. Apex is probably the one exception. Apex can probably do a little bit of punching and objective thing, if I remember right, because he's got some tech skill, doesn't he? Yep. No, he doesn't. No, he's good at just kind of being a fighter, I guess. He's a little bit of a control piece, tiny bit.
She's out there. She's definitely leading them. I think it's pretty fitting fluff-wise, where you have a bunch of kids that don't necessarily run a be working like unison, where you're going to have the other factions of, oh, this is the really good shooting faction, this is a really good combat faction, where they need to work together. The kids are going to be like, we're in combat, I'm going to run off and do my thing, is how I view the kids.
Yeah, and I think if you look at kids specifically, like, they haven't grown up to learn too many skills like we as adults have. They, you know, at that age, they're learning one thing, and they definitely do that in this game. They're all very, very specialized. And the nice thing is, unlike some of the gangs, you don't really, they don't need each other to shine. Like, they each do their own thing on their own, and they do it very good.
I do think it creates a bit of a need for, like, an overlapping fields of fire type situation, because if you have Izzy by herself, I think that if she gets tangled up in melee and can't get out, I feel like a lot of her value really does tend to plummet. It might be one of the reasons why it is that most of the characters in the gang are at that, like, 15 to 20 Eddie, you know, level, because they are, like, pretty good at something. Like, you figure Izzy's 15, Tetra is 15, Wheelie's 15, High Stick is 20, High Stick is a beast all on his own. But we're probably going to talk about him in a second. But I think that when you are taking this gang, it is a very good idea to have what I consider like a buddy system. I don't think any one member of the gang does especially well by themselves. Like, if I was going to be running around with a Izzy, I would definitely want one of the melee characters like Blades and or maybe a Merc that you decided to bring, or maybe Apex. Really? Where you definitely want to have access to something that can just, like, untangle them. Apex, I think, is probably the best at that because of the mind control glove.
Yeah, I agree. I tend to put them off in, like, doubles. Like, these two go this way, these two go that way. They definitely, like, they do their own thing very well, but each one of them kind of has their own, like, kryptonite, so you need someone with them to kind of counter that kryptonite.
Yep, yeah.
Except for Wheelie.
Wheelie's just insane.
For a while, you have to make him tired. But it's Gen Red is very much a faction where you're not going to have a one piece where you go, this is my Adam Smasher, this is my David Martinez, where I can just load up and just release it and know that I have a safety net in this giant kill piece. Gen Red, you have to kind of set up a web where you have your close combat guys, and behind that you're going to have your shooters. And maybe even far back, you have your objective holders or your long range threats.
I think the closest that you're going to get to a one piece monster is, I think, actually, funnily enough, comes out to be High Stick.
Yes.
Just because the upgraded version of High Stick goes from a very meh character to honestly quite insane. I think it is the weirdest glow up I've ever seen.
Especially if you give him a mono wire. I think that fixes his close range issue.
You know, it's funny what happens when you can give people stuff to shore up their weaknesses, huh? You know, when you have weapons you can use. But actually, it's wild, man. That double star, that elite High Stick is just insane.
Yeah. I mean, perfect example, the game I played the other day, he gets a free green move. Now, granted, you get a roll off on it, but I mean, I got a knock on wood, but I have yet to fail that, so I don't ever worry about it. But that free green move, now it's going to happen next time I play. That free green move usually gets you within green to throw a grenade at somebody. So free activation, move up, throw a grenade, you've got three activations, now you can activate your robot, then move back, the robot moves forward, and you still have an activation left, and now you're basically back where you deployed from, completely hidden away, and you've already thrown a grenade and blown up their face with a bot. Pretty scary.
Yeah.
But I guess we've already kind of started talking about what are some of the key pieces for Gen Red. Obviously, because the game is still in its younger years, there's not like a ton of characters that we have to cover. I think that there's probably not a bad character in this gang. I think they're all good in some way or another. But again, I guess we could start talking about them individually. I guess we could wrap up on High Stick. We've already talked about it. Yeah, as soon as level one High Stick is like so meh for the price that if you're playing a campaign system, that is clearly going to be the first character that gets the level up. And if you're playing in a tournament or event type setting where you have to either pay for stars or you're getting them for free, if you are paying, you might as well just think High Stick is a 25 cost character. It's insane the value you get for the first five Eddies you give it. And I think it's the only character that I can think of off the top of my head. I'm sure there's others that when you upgrade
them, they become a netrunner?
I think that's the only one I've seen as well. And also you get a free program, so you're basically paying for the program upgrade.
Yeah, you're literally just buying the program and getting the upgrade for free, basically.
Yep. And if you are going against Gen Red, you're going to bump into High Stick. There's almost no doubt about it in my mind. If you see High Stick across the table, I very, very much advocate that if you are going first, make sure whatever your character you're going with has a reaction to run away from the grenade that is inevitably going to come your way. And make sure that you have somewhere to go when that grenade hits your deployment zone, because High Stick is fast with all the green movement. So it will more than likely be able to get to you and get you in range for your deployment zone to yeet a grenade before you have much of a chance to unpack, especially if you're playing on an open board, which I'm going to call out the tournament. The official tournaments for this game have very open boards, so it's tough to avoid that happening. So just kind of keep that in mind. If you're going up against Gen Red and you see High Stick, maybe have a little bit more of a dispersed deployment.
Yeah, especially
there's also going to be a spider that grabs you. Yes, yeah, especially your gonks. Yeah,
don't put your gonks within red of each other to deploy, because if I go first, I'm killing all your gonks in one grenade. Yeah,
they're all going to die. So if you are playing zoners, especially, treat your gonks nicely. Put them somewhere where they might not get hit, or at least spread them out to where they have to make a more difficult decision.
Yeah.
Any other comments on High Stick, at least?
High Stick with Trick Shot, being able to avoid indirect attacks modifiers, definitely adds to throwing grenades. Once you get the 2-star one, your reflex 2, shoot 2, tech 3. So you're going to be really good at anything shooting/dodging. So High Stick's a great mid-range model to have, plus popping out crab bots.
If you can engage High Stick and beat him to death in melee, that is the best case scenario.
I will point out that I am over 50% on fumbles for my Gen Red. It is the gamble faction. Because a lot of the models do have mobility, a free mobility with a chance to injure yourself fumbling on a red die.
I think Bozos might take the gambling faction from these guys, but yes, that's very true. There's a lot of ways to kill yourself for this faction.
I have had so many skateboarders just try to do a kickflip and they just break their neck.
Oh my God! Poor child.
So many.
I have twice fumbled grenades, used a luck point to re-roll it, and fumbled a second time. So I feel you on that.
I've been there to see it too. I can attest that that is a true story. It was very funny. You can just see the light leave his eyes every single time it happens. It's great.
Game over on turn or like first activation. Like, yep.
All right. So next we're going to talk about, I believe, Josh's favorite character because he's such a little. Pardon my phrasing. Make sure you earmuff any kids in the car. He's a little shit. His name's Wheelie. And he will make your hair turn gray trying to get him away from you. He is the most annoying little fly that just flies around and irritates the living dickens out of you. He's your favorite character, I would guess. So go ahead, Josh. You talk about Wheelie.
A fun fact, I painted mine up to look like me at age 12 with an AC/DC poster on the ground. He's great. I mean, even if you don't attack with him, his base ability allows you to spend a luck token and basically move green. And if you can't target me anymore, then you waste the action, which means Inconspicuous Hoodie is great on him, because if you get him into melee, he can just discard that to move away. It actually is the reason I won my first game at Adepticon. I rushed him up, grabbed the last token. We had to have 4 tokens to win. And then I just stood there in the opening knowing that I had a luck token. And sure enough, my opponent charged at me. I used the green to move where he could no longer get me, and he couldn't get me with the rest of his activation. And my turn started and I won. So you're right. He is a shady little bastard. Very quick. Very good at running objectives. And I have a lot of fun with him, but he does become a big target. The first time he does that to someone and they realize what he can do, they usually try to drain his luck tokens as quick as possible and take him out.
One correction. Do you mean concert t-shirt, not a conspicuous hoodie?
He does mean.
Could be. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because inconspicuous hoodie is anything over
green. You can also discard it if in melee to run away. Yes, that's so. No, I was, yeah. I give him both. I give him the one for the +2 luck, and then I give him that specifically. I didn't used to, but once I realized, you know, once it was helpful to read the whole card, and I realized you could also discard it to basically, when you run from melee, you don't have to make the reflex roll. You can just move. So if you try to attack me in melee and I spend a luck token, discard that card and peace out, I'm gone.
It's true. Yeah, and that is definitely Wheelie's weakness, I believe, is if you can actually get him pinned down in melee, if he attempts to run away, it's a real feels bad if he fails the roll. And, you know, he spent the luck token and he's just sitting there with his wiener in his hand.
So Wheelie, I think, is a great candidate for one of the cards you have in the Gen Red deck, which is Concealed Pistols, which is a rapid 2 only in red range. Because Wheelie gets to cheat move green, you can get Wheelie into really good range against other models, and then you haven't spent any reactivation tokens. You're just only spending luck to move at that point. You can then just light up one of the opponent's models real easily.
And that is actually, I think, a piece of tech on this character that I don't think I've seen Josh fully utilize, in that, yes, you can run away and get out of line of sight, but if you get targeted, you can spend a luck token to even cover up for like maybe a potential bad move, or maybe it is you just have to get across the table as quickly as possible and the enemy doesn't see that and they target Wheelie. And if you use cheater, move out to somewhere, you're still going to get shot. The neat little thing is that it's, you still get a save. So you still can use a green dice to save.
Yep.
So there's a chance that you still don't even take damage, which I think is just an agonizing little thing where if Wheelie's like outside of cover or whatever, all of a sudden you're getting shot at and you can move him to a place where you're getting like +2 or +3 just because of like a bunch of junk in the way. That'd be kind of crazy.
I've also thought of something the other day, and I would have to double check with Mac if it would work this way, but you shoot at me, I use the luck token and move into base to base with one of your models. I'm still in range. You can still shoot me, but I'm in base to base with one of your models. So now we should both be making a reflex. So I'm now forcing you to shoot your own model, or to have a chance of shooting your own model.
Yes.
I get into melee with someone who's maybe redlined, you may just take out your own model.
That is actually, I have not even considered that. That's deceptive. And it makes me clench my
head. That is a great strategy.
I am clenching.
Especially if you have the hoodie, so you can get out in case that model activates before you can activate Wheelie.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a really good idea. It makes me angry. I skip sad. I've gone through all 5 stages of grief. Yeah, there you go. So yeah, Wheelie is probably another character you're going to see, especially if there's any kind of objective play. I think that Wheelie will also very likely find his way into a gang, even for combat, just because he is actually pretty good at shooting.
I think he's also a great piece to get to the enemy's line, take out one of their skilled models pretty quickly into the game with the concealed pistol or another set of weapons that I would probably stick with close range type of weapons, because they usually have better benefits with less range capability.
I have, oddly enough, because he doesn't have any melee, so if you give him a chain sword, a chain saw, which doesn't allow you to use your melee skill anyways, but it's 2 attacks and deadly crits, pans out pretty good for him. And the thought of a kid riding around on a bike with a chainsaw, you know.
Yeah, it's Dead Rising. It's Dead Rising 2 all over again.
Instead of ringing a bell, it's just the chainsaw revving?
Yeah.
That's a good idea, actually. You know what, you guys, that's why I have you guys come on the show, because I never would have thought of that. That's actually a really cool idea. It's just like, if you have a guy who's bad at melee, just give him a weapon you don't need to be good in melee with.
Yeah.
Wow, that's some real deep stuff. You know, I gotta say, I hate both of you. All right, so next we have Apex, who is the current only leader for Gen Con, but this is supposedly, there might be some dogs in the background. I'm not sure if you can hear the anger. Currently, there's another leader that's about to come out. Ankle Bites has not come out yet. We probably should have waited until that box came out to do the show, but that's fine. Get another episode where we just talk about the contents of that box. But the current leader of the Generation Red Force is Apex, who has a really, really cool rad glove where he bonks you on the face and then he controls your friggin' mind.
Yeah, Nintendo, he's got the power glove.
Yeah, power glove, Nintendo. My own personal take on her is she's pretty good. She's not like hyper specialized. She's kind of weird in that she bucks the trend, I think, of the rest of the kids in that they have like their own like specific roles, but Apex is actually kind of good at a little bit of everything.
Yeah, she's able to cover a lot. And I
think you are more inclined to be in melee. I have not seen very many huge plays happen with a power glove swing where the other person does, like, you force the other model to do something absolutely on some crazy level. I mean, every once in a while they'll shoot somebody and they'll get like an extra damage here and there, but I haven't seen anything huge. How about you guys?
Just recently, I actually played against Tiger Claws, in which Apex punched, I think, the Ronin, who had a rapid gun, which took out the Oyabon.
Okay, that's big.
Yeah, it was really big at that point.
Yeah, the best luck I've had is definitely on a rapid model. Like the Arasaka guy with the machine gun. I've hit him and made him just rapid fire three, one of his own guys. But if someone can get it, never put two people in melee against Apex, because then he can just beat one and make the other one attack the other one. But if you get one into melee with him and they don't have a very good gun, or you get into a position where you can't see anybody in line of sight, then the power glove kind of becomes almost useless. I guess at that point, the only thing I can do is really punch you and just make you run away from me. So it doesn't always pan out really good, but when it does pan out, it feels so good.
Yeah. The best luck I've done with her is, try to stay outside of reach, but within red. That way the model you do get the free action with can take a shot and is not stuck in close combat with Apex, because at that point, that model, I don't believe, is able to shoot out of combat.
I was actually just pondering that, 'cause looking at the wording, it says, for free control by this model's controller. I think since it's controlled by you, Apex would be considered a friendly model for the purposes of the action.
I think I read in the Discord, I could 100% be wrong on this, but I think that was one of the early questions on the Monster Fight Club Discord, and they said, or I believe Mac ruled that you're still in close combat.
Okay. Well, if that's the case, then yes, red is definitely the way to go.
Yeah, you want to stay in red.
Show him your Armstrong, that stretchy Armstrong. Give him that. Give him the real long slippity slap, and then they start blasting.
So she also has an ability that I haven't been able to fully utilize yet, but Scrapyard Kingdom. So when another friendly visible model discards an equipped loot card, this model may use an action token to equip that discarded loot card. So if you wanted to pick up a Molotov cocktail or something from the loot deck that is a one use, but it would work great for Apex picking up like a single shot RPG. I don't know if that's actually a card or not.
Yeah, actually there is one. It's not named that specifically, but there's two different ones that I've seen that were single shot guns like that.
And I know there's a lot of grenades in the loot box, the loot deck, that would probably be useful to have, especially if, like, you know, best case scenario, High Stick gets another grenade off a loot, he yeets it, and then, you know, Apex can pick one up. I kind of would be tempted, and that maybe you never do that just because of the fact that you have the two. Like, I would only ever use that yellow action. If you have the upgraded version of Apex, you do have two yellows, of course, but I don't know if switching a green action for another thing of lube is necessarily worth it.
I guess it depends on the situation. It like might just be the exact thing you need, type of thing. I just checked the Discord. Yes, you're not considered friendly, even though you were mind controlled by the power glove. So if you're in brawl range, you do not have the ability to treat it like normal action.
Yeah, so stay at red.
Yeah, stay at red.
There you go. And that is one of the reasons why I like Apex running around with Izzy, just because if Izzy does get herself into a melee situation, Apex can come and save her. Also, if they're traveling together, due to the ways that disengage works, if you outnumber the opponent's model, you get to walk away and you don't need to take a reflex check. So you could just, you know, run in there with Apex, slap them. Even if you don't hit them or manage to break up the fight, if you activate Izzy next, she can just walk away, start blasting, you know, whatever. But that would require Apex to get into brawl range, I do believe.
Yep.
So just keep that in mind. There's definitely some little things you can do here and there, little tricks you learn as you play the game. But that is definitely something I would do personally if I played with a bunch of kids.
It's kind of expensive, but I've been giving him specifically because of that ability. It's 6 eddies, but scavenge parts I've been playing with, and I've been really liking it specifically because in the loot deck there is a lot of grenades, which means you might be getting some grenades on a high stick. But let you start the game with 3 loot cards. So it's been nice because I almost always get one of those one use launchers. So if I got Tetra with it, you know, or somebody right next to him uses it, now she can pick it up. Or same thing with the grenades.
So for the past 2 games I've played, I've taken that card, but I've forgotten to use it every single time. And afterwards I look down like, oh no, I'm supposed to have some loot. No. Why? And then I roll a shredder and it breaks its neck.
I pulled some really good stuff using that card. So I've kind of gotten the habit of like just now I use it like every game.
Yeah.
Now.
Funny enough with the loot deck, which I have been using, I've been actually looting bodies. Wheelie got lube, which was super funny against Dylan here.
I just imagine. I like the sound of the squeaky, like when you swing and miss, you just slide away very casually, just accidentally slipping on a tube of lube. You're gonna love that.
What is that? I don't know. I found it in my mom's side drawer.
Oh my god. They don't have moms. That's why they're orphans.
Yeah, come on.
Sheesh. It's lore made form. Yes.
Max, so, Mike, to answer your question, there's damage mortar, which is actually a tech attack. That's a discard long range gun. Then single shot RPG. This is my boomstick, which is actually red, yellow, green with blast and discard. So that's cool. A nice one to pull. Yeah.
Good thing Tetra also has tech, so.
Yeah, so if you pull that one, that's a great one to give Tetra because it is red, yellow, and green. And then after she uses it, you know, Apex picks it back up and you get to use it again.
Because when you, with that card, do you get to pick who gets the card, who gets the,
yes,
the loot?
Okay. That's the best part, is you draw 3 loot cards and then you just put them on whoever you want.
Yeah, the kids went to the claw machine. And they got like a thing. And they spread out beforehand.
Oh yeah, look at that. It is every other. Oh, that's super neat.
So the last, I think, key piece that we've talked about with other models. Wait, we've already talked about Izzy, haven't we?
Nah, not in detail.
Okay. Yeah, so I think Izzy is our last key piece. She is, I think, probably my standout model when I'm building a force. Because of her brazen ability, and just the second you upgrade her, you're working with 3 shoot up to 4 shoot if you don't have cover against any model.
It's pretty amazing, especially on an open table. She's a terror.
Yes.
Yep.
And you gotta love 3 actions. She just walks out with 1, shoots, and then depending on what happened, she has an action to either run away or she could shoot again to try and finish somebody off. And yeah, hitting on 4 is tough.
Yep. Give her a. Give her an assault rifle, give her any rapid base gun for her to just take as many shots as you can. And if you want to give her any survivability, you can give her an armor she can use, or you can give her an auto injector with a stem pack. I forget the actual name.
You talking about the heal? The healer?
Yeah, the heal.
I'm drawing a blank.
Yeah.
Hypo.
Air hypo.
Air hypo.
Air hypo. Yeah. So
I did it.
any of those on there to help give her some extra wound slash healing. And Beal, I think she's probably one of their top fighters in this force.
Oh, yeah.
And one thing I kind of never think to do, but it, when you spend the eddies to upgrade her, she gets influence 3. So she's also very good at like taking a couple shots and then saying, hey, you now activate and go, and just kind of keep the string going, which I never did the first couple of games, but I've been doing that a lot lately, and it can pay out really good if you string stuff just correctly, which, and I feel like this gang does that very well, because with the exception of Blades, everybody pretty much has 3 activations. You know, if you're stuck with just 2 activation units in a gang, you're probably not going to influence much, because then you're only doing one thing per model. But with this gang having so many activations, it works out really good.
Yep. Yeah. I view her as like a foul mouth kid that's running out there, just guns blazing, just like cursing a storm.
That is something that you will notice on a lot of the kids, is that they all have very action dense models. Like, they're all roaming around with 3 actions. Except for Blades. I don't think Blades ever goes.
Yeah. Up. She's getting scouted by Danger Gals anyway. She's okay. She's got a future.
The little ears.
She's a recruit. Or she's a prospect, I think. Yeah.
But I think every other character. Yeah, every other character other than the Gonks has 3 actions.
That's crazy. And then you got Tetra's got 4, so. You know, if you upgrade her. So, I mean, it's they definitely have a lot of actions. Action economy is very good with them.
So we've talked a lot about models we like, key pieces. A model that I've actually had issues trying to find a good purpose is Tetra. I think it's tough because her box launcher is bulky. You only get one shot of it. Because it's difficult, it's complex. It's nice if you're able to deal at least one wound, you get a refresh and action token. But after that, what are you going to do with her? Because you got to be at such a far range to use the box launcher in the first place.
Yeah, heavy. If you don't take like heavy pistol with her, it is hard to find a home for those 4 actions. I mean, it's like, oh wow, she got 4 actions, but her gun is, you can use it once for your refresher, right? So I actually, going back to that card I put on Apex, if you do get lucky enough to get her a looted gun, she does get accurate with any loot she has.
For Tetra, yeah.
So that is nice if you can get her that. And the other thing I'm trying to do, the only thing is she doesn't have, see, if she had, instead of, she has a tech for 1.
Yep.
Which isn't that good. It's not good enough to make her a netrunner. And she doesn't have influence, which stinks, because with those 4 actions and only using 1 really to shoot, giving her a megaphone would be great. And I have tried it, but she doesn't have any bonuses to the roll. So you're just rolling a yellow dice versus, you know, a black dice. So it's like there's a lot that's like she could potentially do, but I would rather her cost more eddies to start and then have a little change in her stats and a better upgrade so that she's usable. But yeah, it's hard to find a good home for her, honestly.
I think right now, maybe in the future with different universal decks, different cards coming out, we might find something that might help Tetra shrine more. She is 15 eddies for 3 yellow actions, and if you upgrade her to 1 star, her stats stay the same of 1 reflex, 2 shoot, 1 tech. But she gets a 4th yellow action. But I just think that she gets outshined by all the other models, including the Gonks, in my opinion, compared to her.
Yeah, so 20 points to upgrade her and then not give her anything. Like, I could buy 3 Gonks and then have 5 points to give somebody else an upgrade. And I feel like I'd rather do that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think she's the one that gets cut. I think she's on the B-roll.
Yeah.
And a 6, because she's a great model. I loved painting her. I was so excited painting her.
She is.
And then I go to use her, and I'm like, ugh, why?
And then one last thing. I do think that Gen Red has probably one of the like up there top tier gonks. So you have Shredders and Lookouts. So Lookout is any model within red may do the loot good action for free. So if you have Lookout out there next to a bunch of dead bodies and you have Apex, you have Tetra, Izzy, Hysik, Wheelie, any of them, they can just start picking up stuff from the loot deck, which then gives them more options in what they can do. And then you have Shredders, which you get a free yellow move at the start of their activation. So you basically get two activations with them. The only downside is roll a red die. If you fumble, they break their neck. Which happens a lot to me. A lot.
Yeah, it's a 1 in 6 chance.
It happens. I'm at 65-70% chance it happens to me. So it doesn't happen to all of you guys. You're welcome.
Yeah, we appreciate that.
I got cocky at the first couple times, like 3 times they did it, it didn't happen. And I was like, oh, this is great. It's never going to happen. And then the next 3 times he died. I was like, oh, never mind.
Do you think that there is some kind of theoretical list here where your winning strategy is just a loot deck?
It depends on the situation. I think in campaigns you can... I have to relook through the loot deck. Depending on the certain stuff, I think you can get some pretty cool bonuses. I don't know if there's any that actually affect the campaign. You do have to be careful. My last game, my opponent looted a corpse and they got a kill switch, which is fun because nice little explosive off that.
gotta love that.
I don't think the loot deck's an instant win. I think it's more of just gives you options and the ability to react in different ways the models aren't normally able to respond in.
Yeah,
I think they definitely use loot probably better than any other gang. I don't know if it's a game changer for them, but I also haven't played a campaign where I feel like it might actually matter more.
I don't think you're allowed to carry over looted items between games, right?
Yeah, no. No.
So that shouldn't matter, but there are... we did play a mission, I don't know if it was a homebrew mission, where we were looking for something in the loot deck.
Well, there was the one that we were doing at the store where the game ended when the loot deck was empty. Oh. I do remember that.
Oh, yeah, I haven't played that one yet. I will say, and I don't know if anybody else has this, but Gen Red does have a cool card that's only one Eddy, which in any other group, any other gang may not be as cool, but I feel like with Apex and his ability, it would be really good, so I've taken it, but it never seems to pan out, but I take it because it's only one Eddy. The toolkit, yeah. When the model discards a loot card, it may roll a red dice. If it rolls a 5+, the loot is not discarded. So now he's getting free loot off of nearby guys that discard them, and then every time he uses it on a 5 or 6, or she uses it, it's not gone.
Yeah, 30% chance to keep it.
So I think scavenge parts, starting you off with 3 loot cards, toolkit, allowing you to like have a chance of keeping it, I think those 2 cards are paired great together with Apex, and then she can just basically keep using, all the things plus whatever you pick up off the bodies. So I do think there's a cool way to do some loot tricks in this game for sure.
You could even substitute her equipment with hoping that you get something that can be usable from the loot deck itself.
Right.
So that way you can try to save a little bit of eddies off of Apex to give to Blade, Wheelie, Hysik, one of the other models that you're taking.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Any other like combos you can immediately think of? I think we covered all the ones I can think of. Is it give Izzy an assault rifle? If you want to bring Tetra, give her some kind of long range gun. I would say also an assault rifle is probably not a bad bet.
If you have the points cost, you can, with Gen Red, upgrade another model with the Power Glove, which can get interesting. I actually tried it out on Blades. It's really expensive to kind of give her, but where she gets that free yellow move if she starts her activation without you being able to see her, and then she also has accurate on all melee, means that she's probably actually more likely to get that Power Glove off than Apex, but she's only got the 2 activations, so you gotta hope you get that free move and then you whack somebody quick. otherwise she goes down real fast.
For Blades, I've actually given her one piece of armor. Let myself go into a fight, let her get wounded before using the armor. That way I have a red die, so I can try to trigger the auto blade, because I've been getting an extra attack on a crit with auto blades has been really fun.
It's kind of like 1.5 deadly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that way the armor you're giving her is basically just like makes up for you taking that one damage, but you're going to hopefully be able to crit on a red die with accurate. Cause you're rolling it
with accurate. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And she only costs 8. 8's pretty good for a gamble.
Only 8.
But yeah, that makes sense. Anything else?
I think that's all of the tricks I have off the top of my head. I got to keep some of them.
Megaphone does work really good with red too, by the way. Just where they all have, most of them have 3 activations, spending one on the megaphone to give somebody that, like give somebody like Blades that free, that move to get where she needs to be can be really good.
Yeah, I think megaphone, any kind of equipment that can move models, I think in this game especially, just because, you know, like charging isn't considered a single action, I think just pays itself in dividends, especially the megaphone. It only costs 2. It's like you almost want it. Yeah, you might as well just give it to Apex, or I guess you could give it to Izzy. I feel like Izzy's got other things she wants to do, but yeah, I mean, just being able to get things to move around into position, get an extra chance of disengaging with somebody who's more of a shooter, I think is a pretty fine use of a piece of equipment.
And it works up to green too, which is,
yeah,
you know, so you don't even have to be near them. You just have to be in line of sight pretty much.
Gotta love classics, you know, classic megaphone. Even though we live in the future where we can talk to each other from our friggin' minds, we're using a megaphone.
Yeah, the kids are loud, right? So they gotta be loud.
Kids are loud.
Profanity across the street at each other.
And then that leads me to my last question. Who is your favorite model in the Jed Red range? Mine personally is Blades. I had a lot of fun painting her. I thought that was my favorite out of all of them, just because it's super cool. I love the style of it. Cat ears.
I love all of them. Blades was the last one I painted, and I think the best paint job that I did on all of them. Really happy with it. But I really enjoyed and had fun painting Izzy.
No, I do like her setup. My favorite is my least favorite model to play with is Tetra. I love the giant rocket launcher, the size of her body, just chilling there on her shoulder, about to shoot. I think it's very like iconic of what Gen Red is, and people see that model on the table, they go, "That's super cool. I want to learn more about that."
Yeah, it's one of those eye catchers. Got a little, which is funny because most eye catchers are huge models. Tetra's the exact opposite. She's like the tiniest.
She's the tiniest.
The biggest gun. And the puff jacket. She got the puffy jacket.
She's keeping it puff. Keeping it puff and tough. But yeah, I think that's it. I think we covered pretty much everything. So if you're curious about playing Gen Red, I think you would be a lot. You could probably do a lot worse than listening to us. We gave you some combos you could try out. Overall, closing thoughts on Gen Red, guys. I think it's a great crew. I've played against them. I've never played with them yet, but I have never not enjoyed it. I think that the annoying bits of it are within character, like trying to pin Wheelie down, I think is very fitting for, you know, fighting kids, right? They're running around. They're more about speed. They're not necessarily like brawn. They kind of want to keep a distance from you, but then you got the one tough kid who comes up, you know, who is just slightly better in a scrap than the other ones. I think it's an absolutely great gang. I think you could definitely start with this gang. I think it is starter friendly, and I don't think it requires so much brain power that it's going to stop you from enjoying the game while you learn it. And the models themselves are very thematic, and I think it's a very flavorful crew. 5 out of 5 booms for me. I think it's an absolutely phenomenal pickup.
5 booms.
And if you're curious about them, I would definitely buy them and give them a shot because it's cheap, right? Because I think it's only 2 boxes right now, 3 soon.
There you have the core box, and then you have the gonk box.
And you don't even need the gonk box. Really, the core box will give you all your money's worth. It really will. And I agree, definitely a starter-friendly list because, like as I said before, they don't really need, you don't need to learn synergies with them. You just need to learn each one just does their thing. So it's not complicated at all, but super fun. And the best part is if somebody does beat you while you're playing them, you can then shame them for beating on little kids.
On the streets, they ain't little no more. Oh, those little kids, they now these man.
I like to rub it in if I win. Let them know that little kids beat you
well,
up.
Yeah, that's the other end. If you win, you get to shame them that you beat them up with little kids. So it's a win-win.
Really, there's no win. Yeah, the other
no matter what, I get to bully you at the end of the game.
That's, exactly. You cannot salvage a victory.
So welcome to the bully faction. You got killed by a kid with a Hello Kitty sticker on their gun.
Idiot. Yeah, what about you, Mr. Mike?
Parting thoughts. I think Gen Red is very flavorful, very fun, very free thinking. You don't have to fit inside of an exact strategy when playing them compared to some of the other factions in Cyberpunk. You are very open to what you do because there's so much versatility. It's my starting faction. It was what drew me to the game was seeing these kids just beat up adults. And I regret nothing for choosing these guys first.
No, they're awesome. I love them. I would say that the only one thing I've found that they're weak with is they don't have any med units, no healing. So I would say maybe even before buying a gonk box, I recently got the Noodle Chef. But even maybe Duck Mittens, something like that might be a good investment just to get, especially where they have multiple activations. So you're going to want to keep them healed and keep them going. And they are points heavy. That would be probably my one recommendation was get some sort of med kit healer in there as a backup, maybe a trauma doc or something.
Yep. Can't go wrong with the harm assist. Good stuff. All right. But you know what? I don't ever regret. What? Talking to you guys. So I think we did. I think we talked about Gen Red, guys.
We did it, guys. We did the thing.
We're the best. So guys, hear me out. We would really, really love to see some 5-star reviews, especially to get more of Cyberpunk content out. We are one of two Cyberpunk podcasts out there. We have interacted with Monster Fight Club. The previous episode where we had Audrey come on was absolutely phenomenal. She was great. And it just goes to show you that this is a small company doing small company things, trying to make a big game that's going to make a big lasting impression. And of course we want to get that the word out there about that. So share this with your friends, especially if they're interested in the game. Hopefully our little faction reviews are a good way to step in for anybody who might be curious about any certain specific gang. And of course, don't forget to listen to our other content and all that. We really, really do appreciate it. So guys, if you can give us those reviews, we really appreciate it. And thank you very much for listening. I really,
thanks,
really do appreciate
guys.
It.
Thanks guys.
Thank you.
So if you can, if you want to reach out to me, you can find me drddr.d on Discord at drddr.d on Discord, or you can email me at furypainting@gmail.com. Mike, where can they find you?
If you want to tell me how to use Tetra in this cool list, you can contact me at inventorofsoup@gmail.com or on Discord at inventorofsoup.
And what about you, Mr. Josh?
I'm not in a lot of places, but I am on Discord at It's a Me Joshio.
Or he cuts it
at Cheddar Boy Gaming.
He's burying the lead. He's also like the guy who made the New England Facebook group for Cyberpunk. So if you are curious, if you are in the New England area or in the northeastern United States and are curious about this game, see if you can find the Facebook group. I think it is New England Cyberpunk Red.
Cyberpunk Combat Zone.
I'm sorry, Combat Zone.
Yep.
Yeah. If you're just stopping by or just want to join, you don't even have to be from New England or the Northeast.
Yep.
Yeah, just join up if you just want to talk with some cool people. You know, don't even have to be from the area.
Mingle like a Pringle. Know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Pringles.
I love Pringles. All right. And so thanks for listening, Chumbadas. Never forget, it's better to die on your feet than to live on your knees. We'll catch you next time. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Dr. D and Soup, taking it to the streets. Fast dice, fast talk, you can't compete. On the mic, we elite. Professional, but never casual. Slinging facts, making it tactical. Infinity's wild, unpredictable. The rhythm's unstoppable.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this show, check out all the other great shows here at the Professional Casual Network.